time for you to step up to the plate, lace on your cleats, and buckle up your chin strap. This is the Sports Fix at 6. Your chance to win today's prize from 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Before Sports Talk begins, I'm John Wilkerson with Jimmy Hyams. And this hour, we look forward to catching up with our good friend John McClain of the Houston Chronicle. He'll join us for segment number two, as he wasn't able to join us earlier this week. And it's always fun when it's Hamer time with VFL and all-around great guy Steve Hamer. He'll join us around 6:35. But right now, it's your chance to win. It's the Sports Fix at 6. And Jimmy, tonight, another opportunity for somebody to get a fantastic prize.
Absolutely. And one of my favorite places is Payros on the Hill, and you can win a $25 certificate to Payros on the Hill. It is located in Rocky Hill. They serve Greek food. They serve Italian food. They got great spaghetti, onion rings, everything in between. You name it, they've got it. You can look at their menu by going to their website, which is PayrosBarAndGrill.com. $25 certificate to Payros on the Hill if you can answer this trivia question. Yesterday, we talked about the coaches that had a greater tenure as head coaches at Tennessee currently than the Weeklys. Well, this one's a little bit different, and let's see how we do with this one. There are two sports at Tennessee which has had coaches that were hired back-to-back that had at least 20-year tenures. Name those two sports. Tennessee's had two sports in which they hired coaches back-to-back that served at least 20 years as a head coach. Name those two sports.
656-9900, 656-9900, star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. Let's start with Danny. Hello, Danny.
Hey, John. How you doing?
Doing well. And yourself?
I'm pretty good. How's it going, Jimmy?
Hey, Danny, doing great. Hope you are, too.
I am. You want two sports. Is it men's or women?
Well, it could be either one of them.
Oh, it could be either one? Okay.
Yeah.
What about tennis and softball?
Neither one.
Neither one. Okay, thank you.
We sure do appreciate it, Danny. Have a great weekend. Let's go next to Matt. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Matt.
Hey, what's going on?
Doing all right. Hope you are.
Yeah, all right. John, can you tell me anything about I think he's a sophomore left-handed pitcher named Will Mabry. I met him at the Ole Miss game probably in 19. You sent me some tickets. If I don't know if you remember, I answered a question right about the basketball program back in the Ernie and Bernie days. And I was wrong, but I was right. And then you called me back and made it right by sending me some Ole Miss baseball tickets, you know, when they were here. And by the way, that damn hit that won the game, would have won the game. I was sitting up there right behind the home plate at a perfect angle to see down the first base line. And they call that a foul ball. That was a fair ball that we hit. And we would have drove in a run. They called it a foul. And they beat us 5-4 that day. But anyway, I'm still pissed off about that. But anyway, as far as this tonight's question, I'm going to guess it's, as far as the sports, I'm going to say swimming and tennis, maybe.
Which swimming, men or women?
I'm gonna say women swimming.
Oh shoot! Okay, you didn't get either one of them right.
we'll talk a little bit about Will after we get our trivia question, but we sure do appreciate it. Thank you very much. Let's go next to David. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, David.
Hi guys. How are we doing tonight?
Doing well. Hope you can say the same.
I am. So men's swimming, which I was already going to guess, and I'm trying to remember how long Don DeVoe coached. And so let's say men's basketball.
Yeah, it's not men's basketball. Neither one of them. And remember, these are 20-year tenures, at least 20 years. But you got right. one right. You started strong.
Yeah. David, we sure do appreciate it. Let's go next to Ryan. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Ryan.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Doing well. Hope you are.
I am. I was going to guess men's swimming and softball.
No, it's not not softball. Remember, this is consecutive hires, So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the Weaklies have been there 20 years, but the before that, they didn't have a program for 20 years. But thank you, Ryan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we sure do appreciate it. Ryan, have a fantastic weekend. Jimmy, if you would, repeat the question.
There are two sports in which Tennessee has hired head coaches back-to-back in which those coaches coached at least 20 years. Name the two sports. I will just tell you this. Both of them are men's sports.
656-9900, 656-9900. It's Neil who joins us next. Hello, Neil.
Oh, that threw me off when you said both men's sports. I'll say men's swimming and tennis.
No, it's not tennis.
All righty.
Thank you very much, Neil. Have a fantastic weekend. We go next to Mark. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Mark.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Doing fine. Hope you are.
Yeah, doing pretty good. I'm going to try to guess men's swimming and track.
Not track.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
Appreciate it, Mark. Let's go next to Casey. Bye. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Casey.
Hey, let's go men's swimming and golf.
Yep, that's it. Men's swimming, men's golf. Those are the two. In men's swimming, you had Ray Buzzer and John Tremley. In golf, you had Mike Mularkey and then Jim Kelson. Those are the two. Those sports had consecutive 20-year, at least 20-year tenures and consecutive hires in those sports. Casey, congratulations. You win a $25 certificate to Payrose on the Hill. Congratulations.
Excellent. Thank you. I got one question, John.
Yes.
When's the first SEC baseball series?
It'll be third weekend in March, and that'll be Tennessee at Georgia.
Tennessee at Georgia. All righty. Thank you.
All right. Sure to appreciate it. Be sure and hang on the line so we can get your prize information. And that takes care of the sports fix at 6. And, Jimmy, just a quick word as far as Will Mabry. He is a sophomore with the Tennessee baseball program. He's from Cookeville, where he went to Upperman High. As far as what he was able to do last year in the 17-game season, he appeared in 5 games, had no wins or losses, an earned run average of 2.25, wound up working a total of 4 innings. He was able to get in on in the midweek games this week, and he was able to pitch. Let's see. He got the last 2 outs, I believe, and had a strikeout. So 2/3 of an inning in Tennessee's midweek games this week. And I do think this is somebody that they really like what he brings to the staff. And he's somebody I think that's going to be worth watching in terms of seeing if he can't carve out a role with this team. But we'll get a break. When we return, John McClain of the Houston Chronicle joins us next as you listen to Sports Talk on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
This is the home of accurate, factual sports information. Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Himes on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Sports Talk continues with Jimmy Himes. I'm John Wilkerson. We head to the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline as we get to say hello to our good friend John McClain of the Houston Chronicle. Covers the National Football League and a fantastic follow on Twitter at McClain_on_NFL. John, how are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Thank you for letting me move to Friday.
Yes, sir. Glad to hear that things in your neck of the woods improved, or I should say at least where you were spending your time improved greatly. You go from no power, no water to hanging out on a boat in Florida, so that's a step up. You could be a senator, couldn't you?
No, well, I didn't come here when, like Ted Cruz, I didn't leave town when things were bad. We lost power for 4 days. We got it back on Thursday, and then we came over here for a trip we had scheduled on Sunday. And so I'm working at our home in Fort Myers, but I'll be glad to get back to Houston because, you know, there's no place like home, and what everybody went through the last week was pretty unprecedented, and I've been there since 1976.
Wow. I want to ask you about J.J. Watt. Where does he end up?
Jimmy, J.J.'s being recruited for the first time in his life. He was not recruited coming out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. He walked on at Central Michigan as a tight end. Then he was a two-star recruit. So he's enjoying the attention. Tom Condon, his agent, he lives in Nashville. He's the one fielding all the offers. I'd be surprised until they know what the salary cap is if he signed before that. There's a lot of teams interested. I don't see in Pittsburgh, he'd have to take almost the minimum salary to play with his brothers, and they don't really need a defensive end. They've got their defensive line set. Green Bay, yes. Tennessee, yes. Baltimore, where they have three linemen and pass rushers in their 3-4, set to be unrestricted. I think Tampa Bay would be a dark horse. Buffalo and Cleveland are after him. I still think Tennessee is a marriage made in heaven. They need pass rushers. They would have to do some manipulating with their salary cap, but where there's a will, there's a way. He and Mike Vrabel are really tight. He and Shane Bowen, defensive coordinator, was in Houston. They're really good friends. And with 19 sacks on an 11-5 team, they need help on that defense, especially pass rush, and White can still play. So I have made them my favorite.
Do you think that the offer that the Cowboys made to Dak Prescott last year was a fair offer, and do you think he'll eventually depart Dallas?
I don't even remember what it was, Jimmy. They said it was based on years. He wanted five. They wanted four. Which
no,
is
it was the opposite.
Ridiculous.
He wanted four. They wanted five.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Which is kind of ridiculous.
$34.5 million.
And you could franchise him when it's up again. So I think it was ridiculous because now to franchise him a second time is going to be $37 million. And I think if they don't get it worked out and they franchise him a second time, he's gone after next season because they're not going to franchise him a third time because, again, it's up to like $50 million. He'll do like Kirk Cousins, who told him the franchise tag can be your friend. And I believe next year he would be 29 and unrestricted.
Our guest, John McClain of the Houston Chronicle. John, as you mentioned, a lot of folks have been just finding a hard way when it comes to not only Houston, but so many places in the state of Texas. What was it like to see the Titans join the Colts and Jaguars, the AFC South opponents, to donate to the Houston Recovery Fund?
That was a very classy move by those three teams. Another reason I think Jay Watts could go to Tennessee, when he started his Hurricane Harvey relief campaign, other than the McNair family, the first person to step up and donate money was Titans owner Amy Adams Strunk. She gave him $1 million. Now, she lives outside Houston, so she was in the middle of all that. And she likes him a lot, and he likes her. And it just seems they got so much in common there. That is where he should go. But I thought the AFC South stepping up like that, like a lot of players around the country have stepped up for the state of Texas, whether they play in Texas or they came for Texas, they're just doing nice things for a lot of people that need it. And even though it's hot as heck, there's still a lot of people that don't have water.
What do you think, and we certainly wish the very best for them and that things can get as close to back on track as soon as possible, but we just have seen so much quarterback-related drama. There's obviously what's going on with the Texans and Deshaun Watson, but what do you think in terms of just the noise that's coming out of the Pacific Northwest surrounding Russell Wilson?
Well, it's Russell Wilson, and then there's Aaron Rodgers, and then there's Ben Roethlisberger, and then Matthew Stafford wanted to be traded, so he's traded for Jared Goff. I used to say knowledge is power. Now money is power. And here's what I think is going to happen in Seattle. He's looking for a new contract or contract extension. If money is the only issue, you can take care of it. I think he will come out of this with a contract extension. The last one he did made him the highest paid quarterback in history, but now Russell Wilson's fallen far behind. The Texans just wish that it was money. They gave Deshaun Watson $156 million extension, 6 months ago, and he was so happy he cried. Now, when he gets traded, he'll be so happy he cries. And it's amazing. The NFL doesn't want it to be like the NBA, where a couple of agents dictate where players go and who wins and who loses. For the most part, they do not want the players and the agents running the NFL like they do in baseball, which is run by the union, and NBA, which is run by the players and the union, players and the agents.
So how do you stop that from happening?
You could say to Deshaun Watson, we love you. We negotiated in good faith. We're not trading you. And you can retire. And so he would sit out and lose millions and millions and millions. And then he would report just enough games to get credit for the season. Then he could do it again next year. And why do you want to deal with that? I wrote a column for Sunday since he did a Zoom call with their new coach, David Culley. And he told Culley why he wanted to be traded. Culley told him their plan for returning to the playoffs, he being the centerpiece, and he said, no, I want out. I think now that the general manager, Nick Caserio, should start listening to all those teams that are calling about Watson, and he should zero in on the only two that are realistic, the Jets with the second overall pick and the Dolphins with the third overall pick, and both of them could offer quarterbacks, Sam Darnold and Tua Tagovailoa. And if they made the trade with the Jets, they could take the second-best quarterback prospect in the draft behind Trevor Lawrence. And so then you can move on with your rebuild. I can't imagine without Watson, with so much controversy the Texans have, that they can sell suites and club seats and sponsorships and season tickets. And they need something for fans and media to bite into. Well, if you traded Watson, everybody'd be mad, but they don't want to do it. But if they explain why they did it and they moved on with a new quarterback and a bunch of draft choices, I outlined a scenario for Sunday of how they could have five of the top 67 picks in a trade with the Dolphins and Tua Tagovailoa and then get something in 2022 as well.
What are the chances Big Ben remains in Pittsburgh?
I believe, Jimmy, that Ben will be in Pittsburgh. I do not see them starting over with another quarterback. I also don't see him starting over with another team at his age. Phillip Rivers did it. He played 1 year and retired. And Roethlisberger said he wants to go into his 40s.
So the Texans release Duke Johnson. The Titans release Adam Humphries. Do you think with the salary cap we're going to see – a lot more players being released as teams trying to meet the salary cap?
Absolutely. And even when they're not meeting the salary cap, Texans were already under it, but they're rebuilding. They have a new general manager and coach, so they're going to make a lot of moves like that. And for some of these guys that make X amount of money, you can sign two free agents cheaper. If you've got money in the salary cap with the pool that we're expected to see, you can get veterans cheaper at any time in history. That's why they want to get the network television done before free agency starts on March 17th, so the cap can be larger. Like they're saying it'll top out at 182. I bet it's at least 185. But still, ordinarily, it would have gone from 198 to about 210 or 212. So even if it was 190, that's still a huge discrepancy. And your Saints are worse off than any team in the NFL.
Thanks for reminding me.
Sorry about that. And they need a quarterback.
John, since we last spoke with you, the AFC South has welcomed Carson Wentz to the fold. What do you think in terms of the deal that Indianapolis has made, and what do you think working or being reunited with Frank Reich can mean to the former MVP candidate?
Everybody loves Frank Reich, but he's won one playoff game in 4 years, and he's had a different quarterback every year. It wasn't his fault Andrew Luck retired. Then they gave Jacoby Brissett a new contract. That didn't work out. They signed Phillip Rivers. He's surprised by retiring. Now they make the trade for Wentz, and it could be a one. Even if it does go up to a one and a three, that's a good deal for a starting quarterback. Wentz had one bad year last season. And there was a report he and Doug Peterson and the coach didn't communicate for 10 weeks. That's not a good situation, as you guys know. So I think it's certainly worth the risk. The Colts have a lot of salary cap money. They still got their number one pick this year. Chris Ballard may be the best GM in the NFL, and he proves it time and again. Now they just got to win more in the playoffs.
Interesting to see that the president of the Players Association is encouraging the ranks to collude with one another and just share information with what will be a lower salary cap, what might be mass cuts for veteran players so teams can get under the cap, teams like the Saints and others that find themselves behind the eight ball. What do you think in terms of such a public approach to say, hey, play hardball, play as hard a ball as you can? I still wonder if somebody's got a chance to get a job, if they'll pass on that opportunity to quote-unquote collude. What do you think?
I don't see agents colluding with each other. I just don't. And because they're all so territorial and they're always worried about losing their clients. And, you know, Tom Condon, who's the best one of the best out there, he's not going to collude with another agent. He doesn't need to. Some of the lower-level agents may need to. I was just surprised. DeMaurice Smith said that in his Zoom call with the agents, that ordinarily that meeting would be, there's two a year, and the first one is the big one at the Combine. So that's the one that took its place, and then it got out that that's what he said. He encouraged collusion. Well, collusion is illegal. And so I think I'd be very careful about encouraging something that could turn out to backfire. Remember, baseball was charged with collusion 1 year by the union, and they lost, and they had to pay millions and millions of dollars.
John, we always appreciate your time. Thank you so much. You mentioned one of the things you're working on. What else have you been working on this week?
John and Jimmy, I've been working on podcasts and columns and a mailbag. It's on our sports website, Texas Sports Nation. I appreciate you guys letting promote it. Have a great weekend. I look forward to talking to you next week.
All right. Thanks, safe travels, John. Thank you.
Thank you.
John McClain of the Houston Chronicle joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. We'll get a break. When we return, Hamer time, as VFL Steve Hamer joins us next on Sports Talk on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Follow us on Twitter at Sports Radio WNML to keep up with breaking sports news. Now, back to Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Hines on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Stop. Hammer time. You can't touch this. You can't touch this. You can't touch this. This
will lift your sails. Or fill your sails as you head into the weekend. And that is knowing that you are moments away from hearing the one, the only, VFL and all-around great guy, Steve Hamer, as he joins us now on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline for Hamer Time. Steve, hope your week's going well.
My week is going great. I've seen Tennessee baseball win on Wednesday. I watched the ladies play softball and beat the Skyhawks last night 10-1 and watched tennis today. So, you know, it's a full week of volunteer activities, and I'm loving it.
Steve Hamer, VFL about town, apparently. But great to catch up with you. Sure do appreciate it. And tell me, when you were playing for the Volunteers, Tennessee getting ready to travel to Auburn and take on the Tigers tomorrow. It's a noon start in terms of local time. As far as Eastern time, 11 a.m. local time. But was there a team that just had your number? I mean, you can go ahead and set the teams that were the best in the SEC at the time aside, but was there just a team that had Tennessee's number while you were wearing the orange and white, like Auburn apparently has recently with the Volunteers?
Yeah, you know, aside from the Wildcats and the Gators, who were very, very talented, back in my day, it was always Mississippi State. They were very, very talented. Had a guy named Eric Dampier who went on to play in the NBA, more specifically with the Dallas Mavericks, for years. Just one of the toughest guys that I'd ever had to guard. And they were well coached. They had a guy named Rick Stansbury as the coach, and they just played extremely hard. So, you know, every time we went down to the hump, it was a tough matchup. I was 0-2 down there. We got a win or two here in Knoxville, but at the same time, you knew that you were in for a dogfight, and they had our number. They really did, much as in Auburn has Tennessee's number. You know, for them to have won five games in a row over Tennessee, that it's a tough matchup for us, and sometimes it becomes a mental thing. Sometimes it gets into the psyche in thinking that, oh, no, here we go again. We're facing a team that plays exceedingly hard, that plays exceedingly well, and that shoots exceedingly well from the three-point line against us. So, you know, for Tennessee, they've got to put that in the past. They've got to build on what they did well against Vanderbilt this past Wednesday night and try to get another W, especially given the fact that we are getting or we are on the cusp of the SEC tournament, and hopefully, you know, we can end on a good momentum swing.
So, would you rather guard Eric Dampier or Zion Williamson?
I'd rather guard neither, to be quite honest with you. I hope you're saying back in the day, but you know, Zion Williamson is just a whole nother type of specimen. You know, for a guy that is 280 pounds to get up and down the floor to be able to jump the way that he jumps. You know, if I was called into duty, I might have a hamstring injury that night or something. That guy's a monster.
I do want to ask you about this. Tennessee goes into the Vanderbilt game, didn't really play that well. They did get the win. But do you remember or do you think that there's a situation where you can go into game, you're supposed to win it, and then their two best players are out? And so you're mentally thinking, well, we got this, and maybe that contributes to – lackluster play.
You know, you can subscribe to that theory, but I just don't think that Tennessee has played well enough to do that, Jimmy. I really don't. You know, we have the same sort of issue down at Florida, where you had the Johnson kid that was going to be out, and they were missing a couple of their top players, and we went down there and laid an egg. So if anything, it should have taught us a lesson that we must be prepared. Because let's face it, all of these guys are on scholarship. That means that they've been recruited. That means that they're good enough to play at these schools. And just because the Disu kid was out and Pippen Jr. was out, you know, Vandy put up a very good fight, and we should have known that they were going to give us a great challenge. And when they cut that lead to 56-52 with about 4 minutes left, you know, panic started to set in for me because, you know, oh, no, here we go. We've gone down this road again. But thank goodness we were able to get some key buckets by the freshman once again and Victor Bailey Jr. You know, he's been up and down, but here lately he's been very up and very on. So thank goodness he was clutch and we were able to come out of Memorial Gymnasium with a W.
Steve, do you think for this Tennessee team to make a run in the postseason that they have to start showing some consistency right now?
Absolutely, Jimmy. You know, it's got to be done now. It's now or never. And for me, it's a must-win tomorrow. We've got to get on our winning ways here and hopefully take that momentum into another challenging matchup that's going to be Florida that was set for March the 7th. You know, we've got to show some consistency. But, Jimmy, I think it starts with our elder statesman over there. I think that, you know, Fulkerson has got to play better. You know, he from all accounts, he's not hurt. He's not injured. But you know, something is amiss. Something is wrong, and we've just got to get him to play better. I don't believe that E. Pons is 100%. I still think he's bothered by that knee. And I think, obviously, Josiah Jordan-James didn't have the best shooting night the other night, so he may be still bothered by that left wrist. So, you know, we've got to find a way to get our older guys to step up to the plate and play a lot better. You know, they've got to score, they've got to rebound, and they've got to lead. We just cannot rely on Keon Johnson. We cannot rely on the fact that Victor Bailey's been shooting so well lately. We cannot rely on Jaden Springer doing what he's doing. We've got to get consistency from all parts of the team.
When he dealt with it last year, and it's a shame that he had to deal with it at any point in time this year, but with Josiah Jordan-James, he was banged up at the start of the season and then missed more time once you got in the second half of the schedule. Out with the wrist injury, he gets back out there. When you just miss any time, what is the rust factor like in terms of having to sit on the sidelines and then get back in the fray?
Yeah, you know, you feel really bad for Triple J because, you know, he had turned into a leader, and this is coming from Coach Barnes. He had turned into a consistent scorer, a great rebounder, and was playing some of his best basketball of the season prior to sitting out those last couple of games. And you see that rust emerge again. The biggest thing when you're sitting out for any extended period of time is the rhythm. It's just hard to get back into that rhythm. I don't care if you shoot 1,000 shots while you're out a day. The speed of the game, people in your face, it's that rhythm that you're not used to, and it takes you a game or two to get back on that horse again and find that rhythm. Now, you know, hopefully for us, you know, he got another game under his belt. Again, he didn't shoot well against Vandy, but he had some, you know, key times in which he got some rebounds and gave great effort. So we're hoping that he's going to come about again and improve upon what he did against Vandy this tomorrow against Auburn.
And you've already touched on Pons, and it's obvious that he has been less than 100%, but he did actually seem to move a little bit more fluidly, a little bit better, both on offense and defense against Vanderbilt. When you do have an injury like he's trying to overcome, can you make progress while still going out and playing 20 or so or even 30 minutes a game?
Yeah, you know, more than anything else, John, I think they need his veteran leadership more than anything else. They need his presence, especially when you couple that with the fact that, you know, John is not playing well at all. He's not, you know, doesn't have that consistency right now. So, you know, at this point of the season, it's almost one of those, you know, shut up, everybody's been shot. Let's go. Whatever it is, get out there. You know, everybody's banged up. Everybody's hurt. Get out there and play. So, you know, I think that Pons at 75% is better than a lot of guys in the league, especially defensively and when it comes to blocking shots. So we need him to be out there. We need him to knock down some threes. You know, he's gone ice cold from the three-point line. Guys are starting to back off of him. So, you know, we need him to play better as well. But, you know, something tells me he's going to get through this. He's going to keep fighting. He's going to rehab. He's going to get back to being the Pons of what we saw earlier this year. Let's just hope that it's sooner than later, though.
Steve, I don't think there's any doubt that John Fulkerson has lost some of his confidence, and there might be another player, too, that are struggling with their confidence a little bit. It's obvious that individuals can lose confidence, but do you think there are cases where a team can lose its confidence?
Sure. You know, I think teams lose their confidence. And you look at the landscape of college basketball, I think it goes in cycles. You know, we were very fortunate to play a Kansas basketball team that was very down on their confidence. You know, they weren't scoring very well. Teams were having their way with them. But then again, like I said, it's cyclical, and they've kind of reemerged now. You know, they're ranked number 17 in the country. And they're playing better. Their confidence is there. So I think it's a team thing. But Jimmy, it starts individually. And if we can get Fulkerson, who, by the way, is still averaging almost 10 points a game and has almost 6 rebounds a game, if we can get him to get an early basket, I think it bodes well not only for him, it bodes well for the entire basketball team. You know, lots of times when I was going through funks, and I had my fair share of those when I played, I just needed to see the ball go through the basket early in the game. Or perhaps, you know, pick up a foul on the offensive end you know, going strong to the basket if I had to. Whatever it took, get something going to the basket, see that ball go through the hoop. It gives a shot of confidence to that entire basketball team. So, you know, I think you're exactly right.
SEC tournament is around the corner. Alabama is going to win the regular season, but do you think the tournament is really wide open?
It's as wide open as I can remember, Jimmy. It really is. When you talk about some of the teams that have gotten hot just at the right moment, like in Arkansas, Alabama, you know, they shoot the ball well. They're going to be in great position. You know, our neighbors to the north, Kentucky, I mean, they are coming around the corner. Ole Miss, you know, you just go up and down the conference. Now, there are going to be some teams like Auburn won't be in the tournament, but, you know, Vandy and South Carolina, they're not playing well. But at the same time, you know, even Tennessee, I mean, if we get hot, Jimmy, if we do the things that we're capable of doing, running the floor, getting out and pushing the ball and playing great team defense, you know, we could have a shot to be playing on that final day as well. But it's as open as I can ever remember.
Steve, always appreciate your time. And before we let you go, just wanted to get a quick update. How's Malachi doing? Know that it was unfortunate to see his season come to a close, but is he hanging in there? How's rehab going?
He is doing great. He is in a walking boot now. Thank you so much for asking. Again, he is most excited to find out of all this that his growth plates are still wide open. So, you know, he's hopping around on one foot and walking in that boot, but his spirits are up, and he's going to do well and hopefully get to play this summer.
Fantastic. Glad to hear that. Steve, thank you so much. Have a fantastic weekend and can't wait to catch up with you next Friday.
As always, guys, a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you. Vol for Life, Steve Hamer joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline for Hamer Time. We'll get a break and be back to close out this week's edition of Sports Talk as we're at Oak Ridge Nissan, right where the Turnpike meets up with Illinois Avenue on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
From the Budweiser studios of The Sports Animal.
History began on July 4th, 1776. Everything before that was a mistake.
We are 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Final segment to today's edition of Sports Talk. I'm John Wilkerson with Jimmy Hyams today at Oak Ridge Nissan. Take advantage of their double down deal days going on now. Great savings with the end of the month rapidly approaching. It'll be here Sunday. Jimmy, fantastic selection, great pricing. No reason not to head down to Oak Ridge Nissan.
Well, you're absolutely right. And you will not find better deals on the Nissan Sentra, which my daughter drives, the Nissan Rogue, the Altima, all with great prices.
Jordan Beck gets another run batted in as he has a single up the middle that scores Liam Spence. And in the bottom of the sixth, Tennessee breaks the 3-3 tie. Tennessee 4, Indiana State 3 as they move to the top of the seventh.
Tennessee men's golf is tied for second, one shot out as they play at the LSU Invitational. Reese Nevin is tied for third. He's one under par. Conditions are very difficult. Tennessee had two other players at plus two, which is tied for 16th, and they've got a player tied for 27th. So Tennessee men tied for second right now at the LSU tournament. And then I just watched footage of this, and, gosh, I've got to appreciate a guy named Victor Hovland. He's a great young golfer. He's going to be maybe a future star, but he's going to win a lot on the tour. So he's going into number 18 today. They're playing down in Bradenton, Florida on the PGA Tour. He's 7 under par. And he's two shots off the lead. He gets to 18, gets in trouble, hits it underneath some bushes, whacks it into the sand trap, whacks it across the green again, into the bushes, and he makes a quadruple eight, and now he's six shots back. And I watched some of his interview, and he's smiling. Oh, well, just kind of, I'm like, what an attitude. I mean, most players, when they walked off the course, there wouldn't be any clubs in their bag after that. But that's not the way he approached it. I thought that was pretty cool on his part to deal with that adversity the way he did. Kind of refreshing to see. Tennessee men's basketball taking on Auburn. Auburn is not expected to have Sharif Cooper. He's averaged 20.1 points and 8.2 assists. When he came in and started playing for Auburn after sitting out 11 games, their scoring average went up by about 10 per game. With him out, I think it makes it much more difficult. He's a small guard, good scorer, great penetrator, very good passer, and he makes a big difference. He is the younger brother of Tia Cooper, the former Lady Vol, and also a freshman for Auburn, Justin Powell, out with a concussion. He suffered January 2nd. So this is a shorthanded Auburn team. Their two best players, Alan Flanagan, a 6'6 sophomore, averages 13.9 points, 5.4 rebounds. Jalen Williams, 6'8 sophomore, 10.5 points, 4.9 rebounds. And the big man inside is a freshman, JT Thor. He's from Anchorage, Alabama. Not Anchorage, Alaska. Anchorage, Alabama. 6'10 player, averaging 9.4 points, 4.8 rebounds. But, John, I think if Tennessee can guard the three-point line and if they can stay away from Auburn having these extended runs and then if they can win the battle on the boards, I think that's a recipe for Tennessee to have success against Bruce Pearl's team.
I agree, and I also agree that anything they do that just helps them get off to a good start, as Steve Hamer was saying just a few minutes ago, whether it be Fulkerson hitting an early shot, something along those lines, anything just to give them an early boost, I think could be significant because I'm now granted, I mean, Tennessee should be the better team, as you were just spelling out, but for whatever reason, Auburn just has had Tennessee's number, and they find a way to make things happen in a hurry. Tennessee was up comfortably, I believe, the last trip down to the Plains, and yet that got erased in seemingly no time as Auburn flipped the script and then wound up just kind of running away from them. So it has to be very frustrating for Tennessee to see how these games have played out of late against Auburn.
Well, and what happens is, as you're sort of alluding to, when Auburn gets a run on Tennessee, it's not an 8-2 run.
Mm-hmm.
It's like 20-4. And it just keeps going. And Tennessee has trouble stopping those runs. And that's what they've got to stop. And, of course, I know there's not many fans at Auburn, but if they get some momentum going down there, they could be hard to beat. So I think that's important for Tennessee to have a good start, as you mentioned earlier, and to just not let Auburn take off with these extended runs, which they have the propensity to do and have done under Bruce Pearl.
And not only is Tennessee playing Auburn in men's basketball, but also women's basketball. Senior Day is going to be pretty special Sunday, don't you think?
Should be. And Renee Davis has had such an outstanding career. She'll be the one that will be missed the most. And I would expect her to help lead Tennessee to a victory.
Jimmy Himes, have a fantastic weekend.
John, you too.
Sure do appreciate that. We say thanks to Sam, thanks to Ben, thanks to you for listening. Come on out to Oak Ridge Nissan.